Podcast Network Asia.
This episode is brought to you by Podmetrics. Podmetrics is a podcast analytics platform that enables podcasters to see all the relevant data they need to know about their podcast's audience. Sign up now at podmetrics.co and use the referral code Wrestling2XPod. Again, the code Wrestling2XPod.
What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed.
I said give me a hell yeah!
Hey, this is Zeta Zay.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte.
Talent is not sexually transmitted.
You need to go back to the drawing board because your game absolutely sucks!
Hey, everyone. This is Jeff Cobb, and you're listening to the Wrestling Podcast.
You are watching and listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Wrestling Podcast. Stan C. and Ro Moran coming to you live on Kumu at Wrestling Pod and here on Facebook, facebook.com/Wrestling Podcast. If you're listening to us on the audio-only version on Spotify, thank you very much. We hope you can leave us a 5-star rating and tell your friends that we exist. Before we get the show on the road, how are you doing, Ro?
I'm okay. Late kind of realize na Chinese New Year pala bukas. And
yes, there's that too.
There is no work. And I didn't realize why everyone at work was rushing their stuff this week. Anyway, just want to say hey to our friend Cornelius Lowe, who asks what love teams are. In the Philippines, we call pairings, on-screen pairings, romantic pairings, love teams. That's the word for it here.
Or like ships.
I realize that it's not a universal term.
Just want to say a quick happy Chinese New Year, Kong Si Fa Cai, or hope you get rich to everybody who's celebrating Chinese New Year tomorrow. You know, I'm really relieved na hindi ako pumapasok ng office because for the first time ever, nobody's coming up to me and saying, "Uy, paingin ng tikoy." You know, because I'm sick and tired of people coming up to me and asking me for tikoy just because I'm Chinese. So thank God I did not have to deal with that this year.
And Dahil Jen, I don't think we'll be getting any tikoy this year. I don't live anywhere.
Oh, meron ako.
I don't live anywhere near the Chinese centers that, you know, produce a tikoy. And usually I get it from the office because the office admin gives out tikoy to everyone, care of the big boss. Since wala kami sa office today or this week, this year, wala kami libreng tikoy.
Yeah, if you guys want to send some halo-halos, though, we'll take that. So smash those hearts, send us those halo-halos.
Pero kung gusto yung magkakadala ng tikoy. Wala bang tikoy sticker sa Humu?
I have no idea. But if you have yung mga tikoy that you can send our way, hit us up. Hanap tayo ng way for you to send us some tikoy, right? Okay, let's say hi to Waki Mendoza, who's already chiming in with his favorite love team. We'll get to that in our Throwback Thursday segment in a bit. But first, we got to start with some news in and out of the ring. And I want to start with Bad Bunny, because we didn't really get to talk about Bad Bunny last week. We did mention him and yung involvement niya sa Royal Rumble, but now we have a better idea of what Bad Bunny's role will be in WWE moving forward. And ako, as a Bad Bunny fan, sobrang saya ko because I love Bad Bunny for just doubling down on his pagka-fanboy, on taking it seriously enough to be training at the Performance Center. Because the rumor is that he will be in a WrestleMania tag team match alongside Damian Priest, which is basically who he's been with since he started showing up on TV. And they'll be taking on the team of The Miz and John Morrison. So, ikaw, Ro, what are your thoughts on Bad Bunny and his presence right now?
Bad Bunny is definitely good for the company. Siyempre tayong mga matatanda. I can say na matatanda na tayo. Kasi we've been fans for what, more than 10 years, almost 20 years. In a few years, no? Siyempre we don't understand what the kids like nowadays. And a lot of people in our generation will definitely not understand the power that Mr. Bunny has over the kids. So to me, though, anything that makes wrestling relevant to a more mainstream audience, a younger generation that didn't really grow up on wrestling. This is good. This is a good thing for sure. And it's good. It's a good thing for Damian Priest, for Miz, for Morrison, even Angel Garza, for getting involved with Bad Bunny. Kasi yung kasama niya on these segments and interactions that are being picked up by Bad Bunny's fan base and the in the mainstream media. So good thing for them. I just don't know if Bad Bunny can be good enough in the ring by in 2 months' time. Sana oo. Sana gumana. And I hope he takes well to the business, to the basics of wrestling.
Yeah, Bad Bunny has such a huge reach. Like on Twitter alone, he has 2.6 million followers. So that should give you an idea of how big his influence is. And kahit sabihin mo na his music isn't really English-speaking, the fact na other big artists in the English-speaking sphere of music collaborate with him says a lot about yung kanyang staying power. So he has collaborated with Drake. If you've heard the song Mia, that's a Bad Bunny song. In the video, Bad Bunny is wearing an Eddie Guerrero t-shirt. Bad Bunny was also on I Like It by Cardi B and J Balvin. So, you know, ang dami ng collabs ni Bad Bunny sa totoo lang. So it's kind of weird that we're getting some resistance, I guess, from American audiences who don't appreciate what he brings to the table. But the numbers don't lie, because if you look at yung reports of merch sales since Bad Bunny's merch became available on WWE Shop, 4 out of the top 5 are Bad Bunny merch.
Nice. That's I didn't even already had merch, so I don't know what the merch looks like. I'm sure that it appeals though to the mainstream audience, to his fans. So good for them. Good for WWE then for getting that merch, but merch money.
Yeah, it's basically a Bad Bunny x WWE collab. So it's a big deal. The fact that he's making money, and if you're curious, kung sino yung nag-iisang nasa top five, that's Roman Reigns.
Oh, of course, of course. Oh, and I read that somewhere that it was Roman Reigns. So it also justifies then in a way. Roman's hold on the main event scene and the Universal Championship.
Yeah. So, okay, guys, what do you think about Bad Bunny and him having a WrestleMania match? What do you think about what he brings to the table? You can leave a comment on Kumu and on Facebook. Hit us up and we'll try to get your comments along with our shoutouts. All right. Next up, let's talk about the Elimination Chamber, which is happening in a couple of weeks. So on next week's live stream, preview natin yan, we'll do predictions. So far, ang na-announce palang na chamber match is the WWE Championship Elimination Chamber match. And that features all puro mga former WWE champions. So you have Drew defending against Sheamus, The Miz, AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, and Randy Orton. Now, taking a look at this field, the youngest guy is Drew McIntyre at 35. And almost everybody is in their 40s. Miz will be 40 by October. Randy Orton will also be 40 by this year. So I guess in question dito, and this is sort of tangentially connected to the Royal Rumble, is does age matter? Kasi people online have been saying na these are all old guys. These are guys in their 40s. Is there a problem with that?
All right, here's the thing. There's a really fine distinction between age and who your superstars are right now and whether or not you have new stars, up-and-coming stars. So the first question, does age matter? Yung numerical age, yung mismong yung anyos mo. No, it doesn't matter kasi it takes forever. Speaking as a wrestler, it takes forever to get everything right to be good enough for the WWE. It sometimes, or most of the time, it takes wrestlers until their early 30s to even get good enough to be in developmental, NXT, diba? So, hindi siya something that you can really get into for everyone, get into early for everyone. It's not as easy as guys like Randy Orton or Brock Lesnar or
John Cena.
Yeah, John Cena make it seem. So talagang by the time a lot of people get to the WWE, they're in their 30s. And by the time they get good enough to be pushed to the main event or on the main roster, they're likely in their early to mid 30s, or for some cases, mid to late 30s. So talagang malayo yung path, mahaba yung path. And if we're going to base it on the number, the numerical age alone, then it's not really it. It's not it at all. But the problem with this Elimination Chamber is that they're literally going to the stars that they built 10 years ago, with the exception of Drew McIntyre and AJ Styles. Because AJ Styles was from a different company, a couple of different companies. So The problem here is that you really sacrifice a chance to build some new stars, maybe get like Matt Riddle or Bobby Lashley even, who is also old.
Keith Lee.
Keith Lee, who is old at 36, when you think about it. May mga taong deserving of exposure on that level did not get the exposure. Instead, you go back to the stars you made 10 years ago, and then you wonder why the fans are complaining that we're not getting anything new. Diba?
Yeah, to me, I agree na, yun nga, the Randy Ortons, the Brock Lesnars, the John Cenas, the Pete Dunne and Tyler Bates, they are more of the exceptions than the norms. And I think the proof really is in the pudding based on the wrestlers we're seeing na, you know, who are getting signed. So yun, it really will take a while. Wala rin akong maisip when you think about it. I mean, yeah, I want to take out Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton. You know, the other four guys, I can keep them there. But I can't really think of anyone else to put in there because Keith Lee and Matt Riddle are busy with Bobby Lashley. Sino pa yung lalagay mo? Like, when you mentioned na there are guys who are probably deserving, who would you put there? If not Keith Lee and Riddle?
First of all, I would probably not make the Elimination Chamber for the WWE Championship. I would rather make it for a shot at the title at Fastlane. Because when you think about it, the Chamber made Sheamus look really dumb after turning on Drew last week. Because the idea nila is that they'll do one-on-one, right? And then they spent what, 3 segments on Raw this week trying to justify Adam Pearce's decision to hold an Elimination Chamber and bypass the decision to go one-on-one. So talagang nagmukha siyang tanga there. But the good thing is at least they try to clean it up kahit paano. Though, as for the original question of who I would put there, I would just really put Keith Lee in it because I know people want to see Keith Lee. And I'd rather leave Matt Riddle and Bobby Lashley to their own feud because it really looks like they're giving either of these guys a good push. And I would just rather add Keith Lee to the mix and see what he can do inside an Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, maybe we can add like Mustafa Ali or a member of the New Day, diba?
Oh, yung pa.
If that's what you want to do.
Former world champions, Kofi, di nyo inisip.
Right. Kofi, by the way, is also in his 40s now. So, diba? That's another name. Cesaro is also turning 40 or has already turned 40.
He's already 40, yeah.
Yeah, see, Daniel Bryan is already 39, if I'm not mistaken. He's turning 39 this year.
Around that age,
Yeah, so you know, it really gives you a picture of how old or how young your favorite stars are. So yeah, we've got more to talk about. We'll talk about Kenta breaking down the Forbidden Door kasi di natin yan napag-usapan last week. We'll also discuss Steve Cutler and the controversial decision to fire him, along with our predictions for NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day. All of that is on deck. But first, let's tell you how you can help support the podcast through your online shopping. Ro, let's start with Lazada.
All right, guys, Valentine's na, but if you haven't, you know, bought a gift for your significant other yet at this point, medyo late na for Valentine's. But, I mean, you can still buy what they want in time for next week for after Valentine's, right? And whatever they want and need, hashtag nasa Lazada yan. And whenever you buy from Lazada, you can also support the podcast in doing that. All you have to do is use our affiliate link at tinyurl.com/wrestlingwrestlingxlazada. Again, that's tinyurl.com/wrestlingwrestlingxlazada. A portion of your purchases will go a long way in keeping the lights on, helping us do what we do here at Podcast Network Asia and the Wrestling Podcast. The thing to remember is you have to use it on mobile. That's how it counts the commission. Just type in tinyurl.com/wrestlingwrestlingxpodcast on your mobile browser, and that's how you can help us out. Thank you.
All right. Now, we're going to get to shout-outs in a bit, but first, a quick word from our other podcasts on Podcast Network Asia. Now, hold on just a minute, playa. That's a Teddy Long reference for you. If you're probably wondering how a few wrestling fans who put together a podcast for their love of wrestling have been able to collab with brands here on the Wrestling Podcast, well, the answer is simple. We use Podmetrics.
So if you have a podcast, no matter what the size is, you can sign up now at podmetrics.co. That's podmetrics.co. And use our referral code, Wrestling2XPod. All caps, one word. That's WRESTLING, the number 2, the letter X, and the letters POD. Again, Wrestling2XPod, all caps, one word. And hey, it's a great way to show support for the show as well. Now, if you're an advertiser and you want to collab with us on the Wrestling podcast, who are we to say no? You can head on over to advertiser.podmetrics.co and fill up the form. Again, that's Podmetrics, the easiest way to monetize your podcast.
All right, let's get this out to some Kumu shoutouts and Facebook shoutouts.
All right. Shrimp has joined us on Kumu. Jetro Aroa Gabon has followed us on Kumu. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Michael _ Ice has joined us. Blissful Traveler, Jessel the Young, J. Russ Zang Malakas, Papski, Achilles 1986, Angeline Reyes, Starless, Gracie 0924. And Kyle here has said Ibushi and Naito are going at it for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship only. And that is something we will talk about later on. We can do that for sure. And all saying right. Hey on people on Facebook, saying hey to Jeb Brigada, who says that this Sunday is Vengeance NXT Takeover Vengeance Day. We will definitely predict that show later on. Thank you for loving the background that I have, even though it's kind of glitchy because I'm medyo laggy siya. And saying hey to Ernest Colin Balita. What's up, man? And Chino Magdaya.
What's hey up, guys, Balita? Thank you so much for joining us here on the stream. All right, let's talk about Steve Cutler first, because we found out over the weekend that he'd been released from WWE. So yung reason for that is he tested positive for COVID, and that was a result of him attending a New Year's Eve party. So yes. Yeah. So that alone was already a bad look kasi porket nagka COVID ni release na. What makes the situation worse for everybody involved is that his WrestleMania plans involved Cutler and Blake being in King Corbin's corner, so six-man tag siya, against the Mysterios and Buddy Murphy. So now, both Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy have no spot at WrestleMania kasi kulang-kulang na eh. So how do we break it down first here?
Oh, wait, we got to clarify. It's not a WrestleMania storyline. It's just a storyline on SmackDown. So they were supposed to continue it nung New Year kasi they started it nung December. But then Cutler got COVID positive, then he got released. To me, the rumors say that Vince got mad that Cutler tested positive. Kasi he promised guys like Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, yung mga nag-sabbatical dahil they wanted to protect themselves from the virus. He promised them a safe environment. And then I'm assuming Cutler having COVID jeopardizes that safe environment. But as Deonna Perazzo clarified on Twitter, when they found out they had COVID, umuwi naman sila. It's not like they stayed around to infect everyone at work, right? So to me, if you did that and you were kind of responsible enough to do that, to go home at least, maybe you shouldn't get fired. And I think the firing is such a knee-jerk reaction just to save face for Vince's side. Even though technically the fact that you're all there running a show and allowing people in the audience, NXT, so Capital Wrestling Center, that's all really putting everyone at risk. You're not really on a moral high ground to fire Steve Cutler for getting COVID, which is already a bad look in itself.
Yeah, let's also clarify a few things. Number one, see, Deonna Perazzo, we mentioned her because if you didn't know, she is Steve Cutler's partner. So that's why she's kind of acting as the spokesperson on their behalf in this situation. Second thing to clarify is that we're also not excusing Steve Cutler and Deonna Perazzo for being in a gathering, especially given na may pandemia pa rin. And that, we're not sure about yung how efficient and effective these vaccines are pa rin. Kasi, di ba, these are new. And yung data natin that are available surrounding COVID-19 is still inconclusive at best. So, if you're going to take this whole situation and put it on the subreddit AITA or Am I the Asshole, I think the verdict is everybody sucks here.
Diana said on her Twitter rant na how come yung iba na nag-party naman din and nag-COVID naman din, hindi sila na-fire, hindi sila na-punish. That's actually true. That actually makes sense. Why does Casey Catanzaro get a pass, right? Why is she still booked for the Women's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic? So it's so stupid because, yes, you punished Cutler, but at the same time, you also took away spots from Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy on TV. So you kind of spited yourself as well in doing that. Talagang napaka rash and not thought through. Like,
yeah,
I probably would just job them out on SmackDown or something. Cause I say, okay, you deserve that. Like the way Velveteen Dream gets jobbed out now whenever he's on NXT, right? You didn't have to go as far as firing him, I think.
Yeah, napaka double standard kasi, di ba? And we see politicians here in the Philippines say it all the time, the law applies to all or none at all, pero it never really gets applied. So sana man lang, Vince and company actually followed suit here. So everybody sucks. That's our verdict here on the podcast. Okay, let's talk about some AEW and NJPW. And let's address the Forbidden Door. So Kenta's now in AEW. I just watched the main event nila. Sobrang insane brawl between John Moxley, Lance Archer, Kenta, and Kenny Omega. I'm really happy that this is happening. I love babyface Lance Archer. I love his pairing with John Moxley. Kenta finally being inserted into AEW canon. Mox finally bringing the IWGP United States Championship to AEW Dynamite. Holy crap. These are big developments. And Don Callis is actually taking credit for this on TV. Sinabi niya na from the moment na Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega and Don Callis brought the gang together in, what was it, 2017, 2018? Yun na, they already planted the seeds for this. And whether or not that's true, ang ganda ng story. I love how it's developing. And it's basically all the major non-WWE promotions coming together with a common goal. Whether or not they actually hit that goal is a different matter altogether, but I love that they're giving it the good old college try.
Yeah, it's just funny because it took NJPW forever to do this. Kasi akala nila apparently that AEW, when it first started, wasn't going to survive. Akala nila sobrang wala lang sila, sobrang barangay, barangay liga lang yung level nila. That's what they thought. That's why they didn't partner with AEW at the beginning. But now, they found out for themselves na, oh, real deal pala to. Legit pala sila. And big time pala sila. So now, they need John Moxley. They don't want to take the U.S. Championship off of John Moxley for some reason. I don't know why. It could have been so easy to strip him of the championship. But ayaw nila. They would rather just do that. And I guess they opened themselves to sending over, Kenta over to Dynamite just for the right to use Moxley on NJPW Strong, because that's the only place he can be at right now. So he can't fly to Japan right now. So good for them. I don't know if it's really to attack WWE or to be better than WWE. All I know is it's working pretty well. Fans really love this crossover of many different companies, and got to give the people what they want.
Yeah. Speaking of giving the people what they want, it looks like Kota Ibushi, who's now the double champion in New Japan, will be facing Tetsuya Naito for the Intercontinental Championship only. So this was brought up by one of our viewers on the Kumu stream earlier. And I think this is a great idea because finally we'll be opening ourselves up to the idea of splitting the two belts again.
Yeah. Feeling ko they finally realize na, okay, the U.S. Championship isn't our title B. And it's not going to come back to Japan anytime soon unless they really wanted to give it to Kenta or whatever. So, yun, finally getting back the Intercontinental Championship and the legacy that it has. Good for them. I think Naito should win this. I don't know when the match is going to be, but I think he should win it. He deserves to still be a champion in NJPW right now. And I think we already had the moment of, all right, Kota is in his double champion. He's God for whatever that's worth. And we can give someone else the rub again and by extension, give other people the rub.
Yeah. You mentioned Kota Ibushi being God, diba? Like that was his story heading into Wrestle Kingdom this year. And if you were watching Dynamite today, you will have noticed that Don Callis called Kenny Omega a god of professional wrestling. So I don't know if they're planting a seeds for an eventual Kota Ibushi Kenny Omega champion versus champion match. I hope it happens while Ibushi's champion. But the fact that they're already teasing it a little bit in that respect, oh, as a wrestling fan, sobrang excited ako for that. Any thoughts on that idea, Ro?
I think it's going to happen. Tingin ko mangyayari talaga siya. They have already opened the door. Kenta's already here in AEW. It's only a matter of time until other people other than Jon Moxley end up in JPW. So I think that if you drop a bomb like that, kung maghihint ka ng ganun, it's likely to happen. As we all know from the concept of Chekhov's gun, I think it's now more possible than ever.
Yeah. And, you know, we already have an idea how Don Callis operates. So I think that should already give you a sign of where things are going for one Mr. Kenny Omega. Now, since we're still talking about AEW and we're going to talk about NXT for a little bit, I want to do a quick poll for our live viewers, for yung mga nasa Kumu and on Facebook. If hypothetically, a local TV network decided na, oh, parang okay dalhin sa Pilipinas yung NXT or AEW. Since it airs live, diba, from the US, Thursday AM, Thursday morning, Manila time, when do you want to have it on TV? Sabihin natin hindi pwedeng same day telecast. Sabihin natin it's a day or two after. Would you like it on a Friday, on a Saturday, on a Sunday even? Let us know in the comment section. I will tell you that we have some friends in high places who may be listening, who may be watching. So let us know in the comments if you were to catch AEW or NXT on Philippine television. On what day would you prefer to watch it? We'll be waiting. Just hit us up in the comments, all right? While you do that, we're going to be getting to our predictions for NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day, which takes place on Sunday in the US, Valentine's Day. Dito sa atin, Monday yan, Manila time, Feb 15. So as early as now, we're going to tell you we're going to be doing a watch party again on our Wrestling Podcast Patreon. So if you're not yet a member, please sign up over at patreon.com/wrestlingpodcast. We do live watch parties as part of the many benefits of being a Wrestling Podcast patron. Syempre, meron din tayong merch like the face mask, which I can send over to you once you sign up. And you can do that for as low as 250 pesos a month. All right. Now let's get to the card. We've got a stacked five match card as every TakeOver has, and we're going to start with the NXT North American Championship, Johnny Gargano versus Kushida. Is this Kushida's time, Ro?
I think so. I really think so. They've been pushing Kushida for so long, for a lot of that time, parang walang direction. He's been winning, pero wala masyadong direction. So I think we've had our fun with Gargano being champion. I think this is a championship that's worth passing around to people who deserve it on the mid-card. Kushida has to win this. It's likely that he won't. Finico, they'll still keep Johnny as champion. But I really would like to see Kushida win this.
Yeah, ako rin eh. Finico, it's Kushida's time. I think na he's been running in place for so long and finally nagka-momentum na siya. And now that they've given him this edge na he's a baby face who gives no Fs. That's Kushida right now, diba? He went after Velveteen Dream. Now he's going after Johnny Gargano, and he's really out to injure people. So I love this edgy Kushida, and I would love to see him as North American champion, even for 1 month lang. Give him a 1 month reign, let Johnny win again, or let some other heel come up in the process. But for now, I'd love to see Kushida win. Right, let's talk about the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. We've got the finals on both the men and women's sides. Let's start with the women, ladies first. It's Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez versus Ate Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon.
Na-confirm na ba nila na yung winner magiging number one contender to the Women's Tag Team Championship?
Yes. So William Regal said that they'll receive a future opportunity.
Future opportunity. Okay, that says a lot. I want Dakota and Raquel to win because I still think they're pushing Raquel. They know what they have with Raquel. So I want them to win. I think either team could win, but they're my picks.
Yeah, I think the feel-good result, which you kind of always want to have when it's the first, it's Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon. But I think the logical pick is Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. I mean, we couldn't give Candice LeRae a win here, so we might as well give Dakota something big to win, diba? And if Raquel Gonzalez is really on this path of being the female Batista, I think that she needs a huge win on this stage. She already got War Games. I think something like the first ever or one half of the first ever Women's Dusty Cup winners is another notch in the belt that she needs to really get her over the top. So yeah, let's go to the men's side naman. And I'm loving this bracket, how it all shook out, because we're getting MSK and the Grizzled Young Veterans. I didn't expect this to be the finals, but I love it.
Sarang-sara na brackets ko, guys. I never penciled MSK. Well, nobody penciled MSK because nobody knew MSK was part of the tournament in the first place. I think at this point, since we're not going to get a new tag team champion by the time TakeOver rolls around, I think it's just MSK's to win. Although I really would like to see GYV get their due. Can go either way. But I'll go for GYV and give MSK the star-making loss, if you will.
So yeah, I'm going to diverge someone here and say I'm going to pick MSK just because they're the brand new team. We don't know much about them. And giving them this win in their first ever tournament opens up so many doors for them. You can really build them up as a babyface team that everybody can get behind, because they're the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic winners. But you can also turn them heel not long afterward, because they're going to be very arrogant and be like, yeah, bagong salta kami dito, pero we're already a big effing deal, BDE and all that. Diba? So I think it opens up a lot of doors for MSK. So I'm going to pick them.
Yeah, I think it's good booking that either team, Patisa Women's, either team can realistically win it. So kudos to them for throwing a really good tournament.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're going to pick yung NXT Men's and Women's Championships in a bit. But first, let's get to some responses to yung question natin kanina. If AEW or NXT were to be picked up by a Philippine TV network, kailan yung gustong umere? Aaron in the comment section says Saturday. Uncle Al says Friday night for AEW. Chino Maglaya says Thursday nights para same day. And then replay pa pag weekends. Wow, demanding.
Not a bad idea.
Sabi pa niya, wag lang talaga panay commercials. Well, I hate to break it to you, but the commercials are what'll keep the show on the air. So
yeah, man.
we kind of need those commercials, bud.
I mean, don't you like commercials? They give me a break from the action. Steven of the Geeky One says Friday night for Dynamite. Okay, yun. Not a bad idea.
John Marie Ferrer. Yeah. Get the John Marie response, bro.
All right. He says that when it comes to AEW's broadcast and yung TV 14 rating nila, a cable channel in the Philippines is good for that. So I think that's going to be, if it happens, that's going to be where it's going to go. But for WWE, he's rooting for TV 5 to continue broadcasting. Pero wala nang WWE sa TV 5. Tagal nang wala.
Well, One Sports is part of 5, technically.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't know that. My bad. Don't come for us, TV5 friends and One Sports friends. If not TV5, daw sabi niya gusto niya sa ABS-CBN if they make a comeback with a franchise. GMA7 daw pwede kasi GMA has NCAA now. Pwede. Sure. I think that could work too.
Lance says, I hope these people are listening, yeah.
Lance says AEW should be shown on Thursday at 9 a.m., same time as a live broadcast. Historically, that's never happened in the Philippines, only for pay-per-views. And I look what that did to Jack TV, right? So, pinaka-tall order na siguro yung live telecast for AEW and or NXT on Thursday mornings.
Technically, you have SmackDown airing live naman on One Sports on Saturday. So you have that.
All right. Sorry, my bad.
But I will say na, given na may mga day job din naman tayo, I think primetime pa rin is the best. Para at least, diba, makakapag-decompress tayo after a long day and we can watch our Dynamite or NXT or whatever wrestling show that is sa gabi.
So SmackDown on One Sports works kasi Saturday morning yun eh. So you're at home, you're doing nothing, or ideally not working. You just have cereal in your hand and you're in the couch. So that works. Friday is a good spot for Filipinos.
Right. So sige, leave your comments in sa Kumu and on Facebook. We'll get to more of them as we go along, as we finish yung TakeOver Vengeance Day predictions. So let's go to the Women's Championship, and it's Io Shirai versus Mercedes Martinez versus Toni Storm. Ito sobrang random nito for me because 2 weeks ago, Mercedes Martinez and Toni Storm were a tag team. And now they're throwing pot shots at one another. Meanwhile, there's Io Shirai cutting a fire-ass promo in Japanese on NXT television, which I love. So I am all in on Io Shirai talking smack in straight Japanese. I would love to keep seeing Mercedes and Toni Storm in the championship picture. I just hate how ang random nitong matchup na to.
No, the story isn't as nonsensical as it seemed. At first, they got together by their common hatred of Io Shirai. And then when they lost in the Women's Dusty Tag Team Classic, dun sila nagka-initan. Syempre, they lost, so they blame each other. And then now they hate each other. And then it also so happens that they're challenging or they're gunning for the Women's Championship in NXT. So I don't think it's as nonsensical as you make it sound. They've been doing a good job of telling a story. It's just that for some reason, hindi siya tumatatak sa akin. It's not super compelling to me. I feel like Mercedes was shoehorned in, and then Toni was kind of shoehorned in after the War Games match last year. So it wasn't, I think they're just doing their best to make it compelling. I think Io's doing her best with that promo she cut. I don't think it's as compelling when Toni and Mercedes are on the mic, but they're just doing their best. And for sure, it's going to be a good match. I don't know if Io drops the title here. Feeling ko hindi pa.
I'm going to disagree and say na I think it's the best time for her to drop kasi triple threat eh. So she'll always have a way to keep challenging for whoever wins, whether it's Toni or Mercedes.
That's weird. I don't know, man. Feeling ko talaga Io pa rin. I would say that Io extends her championship reign because it's a serviceable championship reign for NXT. Mm-hmm. And I don't think this is the big event that she loses it in.
Okay, sige. Different picks tayo. I'm gonna pick Mercedes Martinez to win here. I think na Io Shirai needs to look kawawa at some point. And while she's been a dominant champion, parang may kulang eh. Like I really want Io to be a babyface na believable badass pa rin. Pero may moment na she's backed into a corner and then she'll get all feral. You know what I mean? So that's what I want out of my Io Shirai. So there. Those are our picks. Okay. Let's get to the NXT Championship. Finn Balor takes on Pete Dunne.
Huh. Man. I kind of want Pete Dunne to win, but I don't think so. I think Balor is still going to be the champion after this. Feeling ko, they're kind of saving the kayfabe money match with Edge with this. Parang feeling ko if Pete Dunne wins, parang giveaway na eh, na Edge isn't gonna challenge for the NXT Championship, even though we all know that he's going after Roman Reigns. I would like to keep the mystery here. I don't think it's Pete Dunne's time, even though it will be a welcome decision to have a new champion. I just think it's not time for Balor to lose yet.
Feeling ko if Balor loses, it'll be to Kyle O'Reilly. I think Finn Balor now is playing the same role that Neville played in 2014. So, yun.
That is a deep cut there. I don't think Neville was being a gatekeeper then. I think he was just, a big name, a medium name in a sea of other medium names. Ito si Finn, talagang nakita kong gatekeeper siya eh.
Okay. Sige. What about you guys? What about our viewers, our listeners on Kumu and on the Facebook stream? Let us know in the comments what your picks are for TakeOver Vengeance Day. We want to hear them. And let's see kung same ba tayo ng picks or if we diverge somewhere. Now, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about yung favorite love teams, ships, romantic pairings natin in the history of wrestling or at least in the histories of our fandom. Whether it's in WWE, in WCW, in the Philippine scene, you can let us know as early as now. We'll get to them in our Throwback Thursday segment. But first, let's let our listeners know how their online shopping via Shopee can also support the podcast.
All right, guys. You can also get the stuff that you need and want on Shopee. It also goes a long way. Every purchase, it goes a long way in helping keep the lights on at the Wrestling Podcast at Podcast Network Asia. All you have to do to help us out is to use our affiliate link for Shopee. That's tinyurl.com/WWPXShopee. That is tinyurl.com/WWPXShopee.
Hey, Chino Yao here.
hosts of the new podcast on Podcast Network Asia called Class Clown. Now, I try to learn about the world through the lives of different professionals each week alongside another stand-up comedian. The topics are limitless, the jokes are aplenty, only here on Class Clown.
All right. Let's get right to it. We're talking about yung ating favorite love teams, favorite ships, romantic pairings in wrestling for this week's Throwback Thursday. So let's get to the comment section and start off with Jackie, who says Otis and Mandy Rose. I think that's up there. Like, kahit na may recency bias, it's up there because of the way that they booked Otis to be such a lovable oaf, and how by WrestleMania everybody was rooting for Otis and Mandy Rose.
And it's also notable because it was one of the few love teams or ships, whatever you want to call them, that actually worked out in the end. Like, a face got the girl. Usually you see the face getting pie-faced by love, sinusupalpal siya. But he actually got the girl. And he wasn't like a model type or a guy next door type. He was really just a lovable oaf, as you said. So I think a lot of people saw themselves in Otis and cheered that he got the girl. All you need to do to get over is to give the people what they want.
Yeah. And look at Otis now. I mean, sure, he's not a champion, and sure, he lost Money in the Bank, but technically, he's still with Mandy Rose, so that's still a win in my book, right?
Ricky is asking if real-life couples count. Yeah, yeah. We celebrate all kinds of love. It doesn't have to be kayfabe love. It can be real shoot love, if you will.
Yeah. Lance, one of our patrons, says Vicky Guerrero and Edge. That is classic at this point.
Yeah, they had so much fun doing that. I think Edge recalls they had so much fun. Even though it doesn't kind of age well, because you can tell that they were really just making fun of Vicky at the time. Because, you know, Vicky was a cougar. She also wasn't super conventionally attractive at that time. It was kind of cringe when you look at it now. But at least Edge was a heel, right? So it wasn't like he was expected to be a paragon of romance and virtue.
Eto, something that showed na art could imitate life or vice versa. Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth. That is a classic one as well.
Yeah, although that did not end well for either. for Miss Elizabeth, actually. It was when it was... At this very peak, it was really good love, and a lot of people growing up during that era had them as their pegs for love. So people may they made people feel things. So
yeah,
it's a good enough.
Ito si Jackie, she's mentioning a romantic storyline in wrestling that also got me invested, because this was when we got into wrestling. Trish Stratus, Chris Jericho, and Christian. So if you remember in 2004 or late 2003, Jericho and Christian bet on a Canadian dollar kung sino sa kanila unang makakascore kay Trish Stratus or Lita.
Yeah.
So it eventually became a complicated story where by WrestleMania 20, Jericho and Christian were no longer friends, no longer tag team partners. And then Trish Stratus kicked Jericho in the nuts and made out with Christian on the WrestleMania stage.
Yeah. I remember Bruce Pritchard, I think it was, saying that Christian wasn't comfortable with the pairing with Trish Stratus. Because at that time, kasal na siya.
And, yeah, he had just gotten married to Denise.
Yeah, he just gotten married about to Denise. Kala mo, close tayo. And he wasn't comfortable with it, which is why it didn't last super long. And parang eventually, it kind of moved to being a partnership with Tyson Tomko and Trish Stratus more than it was a partnership between Christian and Trish Stratus.
Yeah. So there's that. Jomari in the comment section is clearly trolling. He goes, Ric Flair and Lacey Evans. You might as well include Dawn Marie and Al Wilson. Good God.
God bless Al Wilson's soul. good sport to Al Wilson. A lot of people are saying Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, definitely power couple goals.
For sure.
Even before they became a real life couple, champion, they had to be an on-screen couple back in the Attitude Era. People really like that, no?
Yeah. You know, I think everybody would love to live in a fantasy where you marry the boss's daughter and you eventually do become the COO. Ikaw yung naging child of owner. So yeah.
I mean, to be fair, the boss's daughter was pretty hot.
Oh yeah.
All things considered.
No. Not was, sir. is. She still is.
I'm just saying, nung, at the time they got married, which was when we were in our teenage years, right?
Yeah.
That was like, not saying that she's ugly now, but peak Stephanie hotness.
Oh, for me, right now, current Stephanie is
Stephanie. Yeah, for sure. Sino pa ba?
Ricky says Rusev and Lana in the tank.
Yes.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So if you didn't know, Rusev or Miro has gone on Twitch and he revealed na he and Lana did it inside the tank in which they came out from nung WrestleMania 31 or WrestleMania play button.
They had sex.
There was that.
Never looked back.
Yes.
Ricky brings out a really good one from the past. Medyo deep cut to Randy Orton, Stacy Keibler.
Yes.
Nobody really remembers it. I mean, Ruthless Aggression kids will remember it because it was one of the few pairings that happened back in the day, but it didn't last long because I don't think anybody really bought the fact that Randy Orton was a good babyface boyfriend to Stacy Keibler.
Yeah.
Because he ended up RKOing her anyway just to prove that he was a badass to Undertaker.
Yeah. And I think that was also the story that eventually wrote Stacy out because she was on her way out by then.
Yeah. Oh, nga pala. That's true. Joe Marie Dave says, Scott, CM Punk and AJ Lee, still a pretty good pairing to this day.
Yeah.
Really good for each other. Really good stuff.
Dave Scott says, Goldust and Marlena. So that's clearly a 90s pair.
Yeah, Terry Reynolds and Goldust did not end well at all. I think back then, Goldust was not, you know, the best human being outside the ring. So buti na lang na, both of them changed for the better.
Jackie says Stacy Keibler ended up dating George Clooney anyway, so she won. Well,
yeah, that's true.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Aaron says Debra and Austin. Yun, that's another ill-fated relationship.
No, guys, come on.
That's
Austin
not good.
Austin beat up Debra.
Yeah. Not good.
Yo.
I mean, Austin is celebrated today because for the most part, he says and does the right things. But there was a time in his life when Stone Cold Steve Austin wasn't the best role model. And I mean in that in more than just what he did on WWE television. So yeah, let's go to something positive pa naman ng news so far. Scarlett and Karrion Kross. We haven't really been hearing anything negative about them.
Yeah, they are good for each other. I think it's parang it really works when your on-screen gimmick or act is together as because you are a real-life couple. So yeah. I think they have really good chemistry with each other, and Scarlett works really well as Cross's harbinger, his messenger,
the angel of doom, as Barrett calls her on commentary. Ricky's mentioning Cody and Brandy Rhodes, syempre. That's another pair and a power couple, a couple of goals, diba?
Sila yung Triple H and Stephanie para sa AEW, no?
Yeah.
We can definitely say.
Lance mentioned the Golden Lovers, Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega.
Yeah, it is one of the better pairings that we've ever had in modern wrestling. Kasi for one, it's not a hetero pairing, right? And it kind of helps people accept homosexuality in a way, even though they're not really, I don't know, I guess I wouldn't know if they're really a couple in real life, but they act like one back when they were in good terms, you know. So I like this modern pairing, if you will.
Are they confirmed to be LGBT, sina Kenny and Kota?
You know what? Somebody in the comments, maybe Lance, maybe Steven can say for sure better than I can. But I don't know because I personally don't know. Please don't attack me. I personally don't know if how much of an act is the whole thing or is the thing, diba? So are they really into each other? Can somebody tell me? Are they really into each other that way backstage? Oh, yeah. Kenny is bi. I think he's gone on the record to say that, but I don't know.
I can't confirm, and I don't want to.
Yeah. No, I do remember Kenny saying he's bi. I just don't know if they're in a relationship and if they were really into each other like that. All I know is, you know, Kota got into a kiss battle once at the beginning of a match. So That's as much as I know.
Yeah. Ricky says The Rock and Lillian Garcia. Shout out to the late Viscera. Yung mas naalala ko eh, Viscera and Lillian Garcia.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know what happened there. I don't know why. It was like the proto Otis and Mandy. You had Viscera, who wasn't really your stereotypical lover boy. Mm-hmm. And then he was trying to woo Lillian Garcia. And then when Lillian finally, you know, came around, he decided to run with the Godfather's hoes. Diba?
Yeah. Yeah. So he turned heel anyway. And that broke her heart. That was really sad. Somebody in the comments mentioned Nia Jax and her hole.
Well, it did hurt. The hole did hurt.
I swear, that's probably one of the best parts of Raw this week. My hole. R-Truth and the 24/7 championship. That is another good one. For sure.
Steven says on Kumu, Eric Young and ODB. Yeah, good for them. Kota Ibushi and his neck. I don't think Kota Ibushi loves his neck too much, guys. You know his relationship with his neck. He is willing to hurt it as much as he wants.
Ricky brings up another classic pairing, Trish Stratus and Mickie James. Ito, isa pa to. Na sort of problematic, pero wink, wink, nudge, nudge, undertones and all that.
Yeah,
Aaron brings up Eddie Guerrero and China. Ito, I like this pairing. Because even though it was comedy, it was China who was clearly the dominant one. She was the champion, diba? So they were portraying her as the dominant figure, the dominatrix, if you will, compared to Eddie, who was basically brown-nosing her the whole time.
If I remember it correctly, I believe someone said it in an interview somewhere, but I don't think Eddie was into the pairing.
Yeah.
I forgot exactly what his reasonings were. I believe parang, okay, medyo conscious siya. No? Oh, he's with someone else other than his wife, right? On screen. I don't know if that was it. I'll have to look that up again. But he wasn't into it as much. And that's probably why it didn't last too long, I think.
Dromery brings up Edge and Lita. That is classic, but it's also pretty problematic from one, how it began. Two, how WWE exploited the relationship. Three, how they forced Lita to have the live sex celebration segment.
Yeah. Which nobody wanted, not even Edge and John Cena.
Yeah, so sobrang problematic niya on all fronts, even though it's still very memorable 15 years later. I will say, though, that Edge and Lita were, they did exude that hotness, yung pagka carnal of it all. So they did that very well.
Yeah, I would say that Edge and Lita is an okay pairing because they really did like each other. They loved each other. They didn't want to hurt Matt Hardy by working in a story with him. It didn't work out because, you know, a lot of things happened. It just wasn't set up to work out. But yun, if you are going to go by what they felt for each other, then it wasn't bad, you know.
Yeah. Babyface producer Nika is in backstage and her mind is blown right now because she didn't know na napilitan lang sina Edge and Lita to have the live sex celebration. Yeah. So Lita actually revealed that recently lang on Twitch.
Pwede pala tayo mag-scoop.
Okay. Dave Scott with a good shout out to Bianca Belair and Montez Ford.
Yeah. That's good.
Daniel Bryan and AJ Lee. Thank you for mentioning Bryan and AJ.
That did not turn out well for Bryan's championship hopes.
Yeah, but at least we have that moment to remember. So yeah. I'm happy pa rin na, you know, things worked out the way they did because that eventually led to the Yes Movement, to Yeselmania. When Sheamus signed the World Heavyweight Championship when he was here a couple of years ago, he actually wrote down 18 seconds. And to me, a Daniel Bryan fan, that meant the world. So good stuff. Team Little Big, Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I like that. It wasn't forced. It wasn't. They didn't really act on it until a few weeks into the mixed match challenge. They just built up on the natural chemistry that Braun and Alexa had. Pero siyempre, it was weird for Braun to be in a romantic angle, so that didn't work out too much. But I liked it. I would have wanted to see where it would have gone. Kasi may chemistry sila.
Well, it did go somewhere, diba? When The Fiend started messing with Braun Strowman and then later Alexa Bliss. Yun yung resolution
mo. Yeah, but you know, that wasn't really much. I mean, it wasn't like the natural rom-com setup that they had in the mixed match challenge, diba?
I guess it doesn't help na right now we don't like Braun because he's an a-hole. So
yeah,
there's that. A couple of real-life pairings here in the comment section. Tia Trinidad, formerly known as Zelina Vega, and Aleister Black. And of course, Edge and Beth Phoenix.
Billy and Chuck from Aaron. Aaron says, brings up a really good one from the Ruthless Aggression. Billy and Chuck, which I was first exposed to on the video games. Like, I wasn't watching Raw or SmackDown yet at the time. This was around 2002, and I had only been playing the video games on PS2. And then Billy and Chuck were a team. And then it wasn't, I think there was one story in season mode where they were together, but I didn't really understand it. And then I don't know if I believe that they were gay on screen, but man, so medyo problematic din siya, no? When you think about
it. Yeah, hindi lang medyo, problematic talaga.
John Castillo,
yeah,
John Castillo brings up a deep cut here from SmackDown 2004, Kenzo Suzuki and Hiroko Suzuki. Really good stuff there. Kenzo Suzuki was pushed too early on SmackDown. Wasn't, you know, the best he could be.
Yeah, it didn't help. Nah, nobody could really help him get over the language barrier either.
Yeah,
so that didn't help. You know, help him and Hiroko eventually. Dave Scott mentions Brock and Sable, and then Aaron mentions Miz and Maryse, mga real life couples as well. Oh, I'm a fan of Miz and Maryse. Like, I really like them for one another.
Yeah, bagay siya that they have chemistry. Looks like they're really best friends with each other.
No. Yeah, and you know, and they're both conventionally attractive Hollywood types. So yeah,
yeah, totally. Yeah. It actually makes sense. That's why they have a good reality show. I snicker there because Ricky brought up Paul Burchill and his sister Katie Leah.
Oh boy,
medyo deep cut though from what 2007, 2008. Paul Burchill was back on TV. He ditched the pirate gimmick. And then together with his on-screen sister, Katie Leah, who was way too close, the parang step-siblings relationship on the PH, if you know what I mean.
Fili ko nga sila yung prototype for this genre that's really popular on the hub.
On the PH.
Yeah.
Here's a doomed one, John Cena and Nikki Bella.
Womp womp.
Man.
I just love that John Cena's proposal on WrestleMania is there for the rest of eternity. Now, it happened at Mania in front of the whole world. It's there.
Their kids will watch the WWE Network on Peacock one day and go back to that WrestleMania. I think it was what, 33?
Yeah,
33. And ask, who is this man proposing to mommy? Why can't I see this man proposing to mommy?
Of course, there's Seth and Becky, the main event couple. How can we forget the Messiah and the man or the mom? Yun at dumadami na yung mga comments. Tajiri and Tori Wilson. I still watch some old clips of this because reasons.
John Murray says Miz and Asuka. They weren't a love team. Sorry, man. They were just a really good tag team who also had chemistry with each other. Like, They could have been something more than friends if they really wanted to, but alas, we all know Miz is married and Asuka is married and has a kid.
No, Renz, it wasn't mentioned yet, so thanks for joining us. Kahit na medyo late, you can probably just backwatch the rest of the stream or listen to the audio-only version. Totally fine. And yeah, like I said, I love any Tori Wilson references here on the podcast.
Jamie Noble in Nidia from John
Dude!
That is a deep good. Cut. 2003, 2004.
Early 04, yeah.
You guys should watch No Way Out 04 for the blindfold match.
Tapos Nidia being blind as well, having that gimmick, that's pretty nuts. Charlie Haas and Miss Jackie, that's another deep cut. They were married up until last year, so they're now divorced.
Yeah, man, they got divorced, man. It's kind of sad because, you know, they were a real-life couple on SmackDown, and they actually used that for stories with Rico in 2004.
Yeah,
and then they got divorced, man. It's so sad. And then that's why Charlie is looking older, as old as he is now.
Yeah, I think that's about it. If you guys have any others, of course, Pahabol, Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella, real life power couple as well. Mm-hmm. If you want to keep commenting, let us know. You can hit us up on Twitter at Wrestling2XPod, or you can hit us up sa next stream here on Kumu at Wrestling Wrestling Pod, or on the Facebook page, facebook.com/wrestlingwrestlingpodcast. Now, as we wind down here, let's get to our picks of the week, and let's start with you, Ro.
All right. My pick of the week is from last week's NXT. I haven't had a chance to watch Dynamite or NXT yet today. So I'm going to go with last week's main event, Undisputed Era versus Ciampa and Thatcher for the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. Really good takeover quality match. Really brought it against each other there.
All right. My pick of the week is from Raw, and we take a crap on Raw all the time dito sa podcast. But for a change, I'm going to mention a segment on Raw and talk about Edge's promo on The Miz. So I love that because Edge basically took The Miz to school. And sinabi niya na, ano, kala mo magaling ka mag-mind games. Papunta ka pa lang, pabalik na ako. And he basically broke down The Miz's logic with his own logic, and it made sense.
Yeah.
And it's very uncharacteristic of a promo on Raw.
He really made Miz look dumb there. But, okay, I thought you were here to elevate talent. Why are you making Miz look dumb? I think it had more to do with Miz not getting a chance to fire back at that. But, okay, I get that Miz isn't really the young talent that he's there to elevate. But, okay, that was kind of selfish, dude.
No. I would blame creative here. Because normally we're familiar with creative basically scripting these promos. Even The Miz, I'm sure, gets the bullet point. So the fact that that was the best they could come up for The Miz, that's sobrang indefensible for me. It's really indefensible.
Well, I don't know. I don't think that was The Miz. I don't think that was creative because at that point, that's Edge. I don't think Edge will let someone else script the segment.
Exactly, which is why I give Edge the credit.
Yeah. So if Edge was there to make it better, why wouldn't he give Miz a shot to redeem himself? But I medyo went into business for yourself there, man.
Ricky says his pick of the week is Nia Jax's hole. Okay.
Oh, one more thing. Did anyone explain? Did I miss something? Why is Angel Garza suddenly with Miz and Morrison? Did anyone explain this at all?
Well, he disappeared. Yeah, he disappeared with them. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I think yung role ni Angel Garza ngayon, as Ricky posits in his Raw reviews on SmartKenry.com, is to be the third wheel for any team that needs a third wheel. So see Andrade and Zelina Vega, Miz and Morrison, you know, there.
No, role. I just wanted him to say something. Okay, maybe he wanted to dress up like Miz and Morrison, you know. Maybe he just wanted to wear suits.
Wala. Gusto lang yung awayin si Mr. Bunny. Yun lang.
Okay.
All right, there you have it. Those are our picks of the week. You can leave yours here in the comment section as well. And as we get out of here, we got to let you know that just because you're a listener of the Wrestling Wrestling Podcast, we've got a special hookup for you, courtesy of our friends from Mr. Speedy. We can give you 50 pesos off your first delivery on MrSpeedy.ph or on the Mr. Speedy app, which you can download on the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store, or the Huawei Mobile Gallery, and use our promo code Wrestling Wrestling X Mr. Speedy. Again, it's the word wrestling spelled twice, all caps, then the letter X, then MrSpeedy. So again, Wrestling Wrestling X Mr. Speedy, 50 pesos off your first Mr. Speedy delivery, available here in Metro Manila, Cebu, Davao, and all other major nearby provinces. And we also got to let you know that on Monday, Manila time, we've got a live watch party for NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day. So, Ro, let's tell them how they can be a part of that.
All right, guys. If you want to be a part of our exclusive Patreon community, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/wrestlingwrestlingpodcast. Guys, for as low as 250 pesos a month, you can not only watch the pay-per-views with us on Discord, but you'll also get, you know, exclusive access to our post-show reviews, exclusive access to our merch, which we're sending out right now to everyone who signs up, and also part of a growing community, a steadily growing community of people who just want to talk about wrestling, and a whole bunch of other perks and benefits that we could have when we grow even bigger. So if you want, walang pilitan, you can just sign up. Again, that's patreon.com/wrestlingwrestlingpodcast for as low as 250 a month. The link is there. Thank you, Jackie, for spelling it out on our comment section. Again, walang pilitan if you only want to support us. Thank you.
And please read smarkhenry.com. It's still going. We are actually about to celebrate our 6th anniversary this April.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a big milestone for our humble little wrestling site. We're approaching our 4,000th published article. So thank you to all our readers, and we hope you can keep supporting smarkhenry.com as well. And I have another podcast. So this Chino, you can check out his podcast called The Class Clown. It's also part of the Podcast Network Asia family. And my other podcast is called On Deck with Stancy. It's for everyone who loves radio. So this week, it's a Valentine's episode featuring Andre Ko and Sarah Hernandez, formerly from Monster RX 93.1. They talk about how their relationship started on the radio or in the radio station, and then it blossomed into them being a power couple as hosts and entertainers. We've also got something special happening on Tuesday, February 16th. So this is something that we don't regularly do, but we're actually going to be live on Kumu again.
Yeah, this time on Kumu exclusively as part of, a slate of guestings thanks to our Podcast Network Asia family. Next week on Kumu, that's February 16 at 8 p.m., we will be talking about Elimination Chamber and the Elimination Chambers of the past. So please, guys, jump in. We're going to be reminiscing about previous Elimination Chambers and all the good stuff that comes with them.
Yeah, so there, please catch us on Kumu at Wrestling Wrestling Pod. And for any wrestling discussions you want to have with us kapag hindi tayo nagpa-podcast or kapag walang stream, si Admin Angelo, kakahabo lang, okay lang, you can catch us on Spotify. Please follow us over there, download the episodes, or hit us up on social media, facebook.com/wrestlingwrestlingpodcast, same handle on Instagram. For Twitter, it is at Wrestling2XPod, and for Kumu, it is at Wrestling Wrestling Pod. Huge shout out to Babyface producer Nikai, who's backstage keeping everything together, and to the rest of the Podcast Network Asia team, who's doing everything to help us keep doing what we do best, and that is to be the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. Send Chino some love. He's in the States right now. He will be there until for the next month, basically. At Chino Supersize, hit up Ro at Ro is War, and hit me up at _Stancy. And on behalf of the entire Wrestling Wrestling Podcast team, first of all, happy Chinese New Year, Kong Si Fa Tai, and hope you get rich, and happy Valentine's Day as well to everybody. Stay safe, mask up, and don't forget to register to vote. We're out of here. Peace.
Peace.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.